Welcome to the Revelation Church podcast. We trust today's message will speak to you. If you'd like to get in touch, just drop us an email at hello@revelationchurch.org.uk.
We're doing a series on the gifts of, on the Holy Spirit. Our aim and our hope is that it's going to last the whole year. And we really want to become familiar with the person, the presence, the work of the Holy Spirit in the most healthy way possible. Amen. Not kind of an unhealthy kind of familiar and not an over familiarity, but a sense of, no, well, listen, he's welcome among us. We need him. He brings the presence of the Father and the Son among us. Okay. And so just that sense in which we don't want to have any kind of nervousness or timidity or double-mindedness around the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but really try and teach. At the moment, we're looking at some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today's gift is the gift of administration, which I have decided as an expert that I will do the preaching on. Now, we will talk about that. Why am I preaching on this? We're going to get there. It's one of my questions I'm going to ask as one of the sermons. But we're going to start. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where there's this list. It only appears once, this word. And depending on the translation that you are working with, it will use different words. Depending on your translation, it will either say governments, or leaders, leadership, or organizers, or guides, or managers, or administrators. So it really, I've just chosen about six or seven of the different English translations there. The New Testament, in case you didn't know, is written in Greek. And Greek is a very rich language, which means that very often when you translate it into English, there's numbers of words you can choose because one word doesn't manage to capture the whole thing. Okay, that's what's going on. That's why in different translations, they're trying to reach for different things about it. The actual word is pilotage. Okay, so the word for being a pilot, which obviously back then wasn't talking about an airplane pilot. Okay, didn't have airplanes. It's a ship's pilot. Okay, so it's the pilot in the ship, the person in the ship who is responsible for plotting the course, etc., etc. So when I say admin, all kinds of things come to your minds. Okay, but we're going to just try and make sure that we actually get a biblical understanding, not impose our understanding onto the word, but say, what does this word mean? We'll look at that. But we're going to, so 1 Corinthians 12 is where it appears, and that's the only place that it appears in the whole of the New Testament. So that's interesting, again. And so we're familiar with this list now in 1 Corinthians 12. And it goes through all the different ones in the early verses, and it doesn't mention administration at all. So if we look at verse 8 onwards, we've got the wisdom, we've got the word of knowledge, we've got faith, we've got gifts of healing, we've got the working of miracles, prophecy, we've got distinguishing between spirits. We're going to do all of these. We've got tongues and interpretation. So it doesn't mention administration at all. But then at the end of the same chapter, there's this list that comes here. And it's verses 27 and 28, where Paul says, "Now you're the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues or languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all possess gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts." So, Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray you'd really help me this morning to communicate really well about this gift. And I pray that it would release many people and inform many people. I pray it would even rescue many people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So even at the end here, it's quite unusual. Suddenly Paul comes in with things like apostles, which he hadn't mentioned in the first bit. And then he's talking about administrating, and that wasn't mentioned in the first bit. And there were certain bits in the second bit that weren't in the first bit, and vice versa. And one of the things you realize is this. This is really important you understand this. Is that the Bible is not a systematic theology. You can get books called systematic theologies. And what they've done is they've taken all the content in the Bible and they've essentially tried to bring it all together and systematize it. And that's really helpful because it helps you to see all the, oh, that's there and that's there. And so you might want to look at gifts of the Spirit, and it'll pull in from Romans 12, and it'll pull in from Ephesians 4, and it'll pull in from 1 Corinthians 12, and then 1 Peter 4. And you go, oh, this is fantastic. But actually, it can give you the wrong impression. The impression it can give is that the Bible is like a book of systematic theology. And that's the last thing it is. It's letters written to churches. And so when Paul writes to the Romans, he mentions these gifts. And when he writes to the 1 Corinthians, he mentions those gifts. And there's overlap, but there's different ones mentioned. And that obviously should lead to the question, so are what we have in here exhaustive? It's a really interesting question, and I'm not sure I know the answer to it. I know that Scripture is sufficient, so I know that nothing's been left out, that, oh no, we're in trouble because that's not in there. We know that in Scripture is the wisdom that we need to follow God fruitfully. Okay, but whether this is exhaustive or not, I don't know. I mean, because if you think about it for a while, you've got these lists of gifts in the New Testament. It doesn't anywhere talk about a particular anointing in like art and creativity and stuff. And yet when you go then to the Old Testament, you find Bezalel, who was spiritually gifted in these areas and that thus was put to work on the tabernacle in these amazing ways. And so in that sense, Scripture's sufficient, but we mustn't get really uptight and rigid about things in an unhelpful way, as if the Bible is some kind of systematic theology. It is not that. So I just wanted to give you a bit of some guidelines and thoughts around it as we think about the gifts. So I'm going to ask three questions about the gift of administration. Number one, what is it? Well, like I said, different translations translate it different ways. But literally, it's the idea of being a pilot. And a pilot, obviously, back in the day, what would a pilot do? They got to get there. How would they navigate? Yeah, up there. So you're plotting your course. You're using the stars. You're using the knowledge that there is. You're using your knowledge of the area around you. So you're using all these different things to go, well, if we're going to get there, we need to go there, there, and there. Why not there, there, and there? Well, because this time of year, the wind's there. They're going to knock us off course. So we're going to go. So there's a destination. Once you give a pilot a destination, then a pilot, with the knowledge that they have, are able to go, well, this is the best route. That's a really helpful way to understand the gift of administration. That in the church, you've got apostles and prophets, and they tend to bring vision. They tend to inspire the saints. They lift their heads. So apostles will come in and they'll proclaim the gospel, and they'll begin to talk about reaching the ends of the earth and God's great plan, and this kind of, they bring this breadth with who they are, and everyone goes, oh, there was me thinking about dinner. Oh, you know, it just lifts your head, expands your mind, expands your heart. It takes you into the big purposes of God. You know, they proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, the heights, the depths, the lengths, the breadths of his love. And it's this sense of big picture. And wow, I want to be up there. I want to go there. And then prophets in a church, they lay a foundation. They bring something for the church that God is speaking to each particular church very often. So the reason why our vision is, 300 big people and planting around London by postcode and resourcing the wider body of Christ and planting internationally is because these are things that God has spoken to us prophetically. So they become like a destination. That's who we want to be. That's where we want to go. It's like it's a destination. And then the elders, their role is really to sort of steward that vision and oversee the flock and make sure that people are being faithful to God, are doing okay, that the condition of the flock, that the injured and the wounded are getting healed, that the hungry are getting fed, spiritually speaking primarily, that the lame are getting cared for. It's what shepherds used to do in the Old Testament. It's the work of the shepherd, that the sheep are being protected from wolves and predators. It's what elders do. They're overseeing the flock. Administrators have an extraordinary part to play in all of this. Because as the church is moving towards this vision, this destination, the administrators are the ones that are gifted in terms of strategic wisdom. They go, well, look, if you want to go there, you want to do that. Or sometimes, to flip it the other way, they say, if you want to go there, why are you doing that? The gift of administration, without even thinking about it, it's strategic, which means it's not the gift that's necessarily bringing the big vision or the big destination or the big inspiration, but it's the gift of saying, well, if you want that to become reality, then do you realize what you've got to do? And then the visionary goes, no, I had no idea. And everyone thinks the visionary should know. The visionary normally has no idea. Sometimes the visionary will be gifted in both ways, okay? And that's when you get like those amazing leaders that can do everything. Yeah, they tend to be, though, they're visionary, but they're also administratively gifted. And they do really well, but it's really interesting. Often around them, there's not a great team because everyone's looking on going, well, you can do everything. And then they often tend to reach ceilings and haven't built teams and brought people around them because they're so able and then don't know what to do. Whereas if you're a visionary like me, you never have that problem because everyone is trying so desperately to rescue me from anything practical or anything strategic. The panic, you can feel the panic in the room. It's like, quick, who's going to pick this up? Because if you leave it to him, it's going to be bad, right? It's a beautiful thing, okay? But obviously it takes certain things on my part to be able to encourage and facilitate that and not pretend I can do that. It takes things on other people's part to step in with those gifts. But when it works, it's a lovely thing, okay? It's never perfect, but it's a beautiful thing. So that's what it does. So the administrative gifts, strategic wisdom. So it's plotting the course. It's managing processes. Cares about process. Understands process. It's not just fixated on it's inspired by the destination, but then it's like, well, then this has got to happen. Breaks down into chunks. Okay, well, let's do this bit now. Okay, now let's do this bit. Breaks it down in chunks. Understands there's a process. Creates sustainable rhythms. Well, if that's where we're going to go, why are we sprinting? Why are we doing that? Yeah. It's really good at seeing things through. Hold on a minute, we said we were going to do that. Yeah, but I've had a new idea now. Hold on a minute. We said we were going to do that. It rescues mad professors. And some of you. Yeah, people always got a new idea. Yeah, yeah, it was that, but now it's that. Without the administrative gift, it causes leaves chaos behind it. Because they go, I've had an idea. And people get inspired by the vision and throw themselves at it. And then that person goes, now it's this. And people go, oh, okay. And then next week, now it's this. And at some point, people start going, what's going on here? Number one, are you hearing God? Number one, do you even have any idea the impact of the things you're suggesting? It's hard to hear that stuff as a visionary, but it's vital that you hear it. And that you listen carefully. Otherwise, you just leave a trail of just mess behind you. And I've at times definitely had to learn the hard way. And some of you have been on the receiving end of that, for which I do apologize and, you know, always looking to learn and grow in these things. But if you're here and you're relating more to me, you're thinking, yeah, I'm like that. I'm creative, quite inspirational, quite visionary. You've got to listen really carefully to what I'm saying about the administrative gift today, because it can be a huge blind spot to people that are gifted in a visionary way. Some elders do have this kind of gift for sure, but it's not a qualification for eldership, which means sometimes you get eldership teams and no one in the team's got it. And you don't have to wait for an elder to come through with it because it's not an eldership role, but it serves the elders. Okay, so in that sense, it's why it's really important you broaden teams out and all of that. So vision is about destination, admin is about how to get there. So we did a day, we used to do our day on admin on lead used to be called Living the Dream. Now, why was it called Living the Dream? Because without the administrative gift, the dream remains a dream. It's never realized. Whereas when the administrative gift is rightly deployed, you by God's grace on them, they help bring into the realization of God, of godly dreams. So you live in the dream. So even though it kind of sounds ironic, no one puts those two things together. That's a biblical understanding of the administrative gift. So that's the first question. What is it? Second question, we've got two more questions, this one and another one. Is it spiritual? Doesn't sound very spiritual to me. Beware associating spirituality with spontaneity. Common pitfall. Beware associating spirituality with haphazardness. But I'm being spiritual. You're just being annoying. Yeah? Beware this association. There can be an immature understanding of spirituality. Now, agreed, it feels very different from miracles. It feels very different from prophecy. And it sounds like maybe you just need to be an organized person. And I would say typically those with this gift will often be. But it's more than that. It's a spiritual gift. It can often be highly creative, supernatural problem solving, supernatural resourcefulness, suit your natural grasp of things, that will be a waste of time. That's a really interesting one. My wife, Davina, is very strategic, very administrative. Early years of marriage were carnage. I've got this idea. And she's like, do you realise, donk, 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 you dream killer. It was bad. And I took, yeah, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I didn't understand. But as soon as I say a destination, Davina intuitively understands the practicalities involved. I intuitively don't. I literally have no idea. I'm hearing the music, the backdrop, the soundtrack. I'm there. I have no idea of what's going to be involved. Davina just, it's a gift. She just sees it. And when I realized it was a gift and started to listen, how many nonsense situations did it rescue us from? So many. So many. But there can be that tension with this thing. This is a supernatural gift. Listen, God is the great administrator. Let me show you. Think about the gospel for a moment. The gospel is the master plan executed right on time. That's what it is. You've got loads of prophecies to prepare the way for it. You've got the story of Israel to provide a context for it. You've got that wonderful saying in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time. You remember that? In the fullness of time. Administrators are good at making things happen on time. It says this, Galatians 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. It's now. It's not random. It's now. Romans 5 says, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. There's a plan. God made a plan. The gospel is actually not spontaneous. Is the gospel spiritual? Is the gospel spontaneous? No. Planned from eternity. At the time that Jesus came, there were three things that had happened in the world that made the gospel able to go forth with power. There was Pax Romana. Pax Romana is Latin for Roman peace. And it's a strange sort of peace. Basically, it's peace because everyone's terrified of the Romans. So it's basically how it works. So it's an awful situation, the iron fist of Rome. But what it meant was you could travel. Before Pax Romana, you couldn't travel because bandits were everywhere. Well, once the Romans started crucifying tens of thousands of them, everyone decided they'd find a different job, understandably. So you could travel. And you wouldn't be accosted for the most part because there was Roman checkpoints on the way. So you've got that in place. Not only that, you've also got Roman roads. We still had the A1 started off as a Roman road. Amazing. So the Romans were expert road builders, which meant that, again, travel could change. Also, you had this kind of the Greek language. Like I said before, the New Testament's written in Greek. At this point, pretty much, the Romans were the power empire, but really they were culturally Greek. They'd been influenced by the Greeks. And so Greek was used all across the empire, which meant the gospel could go and cross cultures and nations because everyone, for the most part, or lots and lots of people, spoke Greek. So again, you see, God, in his wisdom, overseeing the rising and falling of empires, is getting things ready. When Jesus comes, he knows when his hour hasn't come. He knows when his hour has come, right? Jesus gets taken to the top of a cliff. They're going to push him off. We're told he walked through the middle of them. Why? Because he knew his hour hadn't come. Right? It's like, no, it's not going to be me falling off a cliff to die for the sins of the world. That's not the plan. Okay? He knew. So his hour hadn't come. Just walk through him. Nope. And then when the time came, no one took his life from him, right? He laid down his own life. Now's the time. So I choose to submit to all of this that's going on. No fear, no intimidation, no panic, but the hour has come. Okay? It's all planned. It's all worked out meticulously. Go there. There's going to be a donkey tied up. Get the donkey. If anyone asks you, tell them the Lord needs it. Then we're going to go to that room that we've prepared in advance. It's all wonderfully planned and the most spiritual thing you can imagine. It's the gift. We are seeing administration in action. It's perfectly orchestrated and it's perfectly executed. So is the gift of administration spiritual? Yes. Yes. I've touched on some of this already, but third question, why am I preaching on it? Because it's not me, for sure. I am highly spontaneous, useless with process, all big vision, no detail, but I have come to see my desperate need for this gift in my life personally and in service to the Lord. It's been absolutely huge. Different people that have worked for us administratively as a church, whether employed or voluntary, many of you in this room have helped to rescue things that often got started, not always, but often got started because I had an idea. And then it got so far and you stepped in with your gift and you made it into something that it is now. There was a time when the food bank was, you know, in a bit of trouble, hanging on by its fingernails because of a lack of administrative gift. And now it's, you know, brilliant people came in voluntarily, helped to get it where it should be, and now a wonderful thing. You know, I think we're feeding about 160 people, 140 people every week locally. Phenomenal. But that gift has come in and strengthened that. So many of the things that I'm doing completely dependent upon administrative gifts among us, both in Rev and relational mission. Got Kit who helps me, Anise who helps Mike, you got James Taylor who helps Morris. All of us have someone alongside us that has this gift and is thinking this way. Otherwise, it's all just inspiration and vision and nothing comes of it. Now, I will say this. So I'm preaching on it because I love this gift and I appreciate it and I'm learning how to work well with it, growing into that, okay? And hopefully people around me are finding that that is happening. But I will want to say a few things in terms of how to work with those with an administrative gift, how to look after, how to care for. And again, please, this isn't me proclaiming any perfection on my part, just lessons that are being learned. Provide big vision. The admin gift thrives on big vision. Without destination, the admin gift's got nothing to work towards. It's like, where are we going? That will be a very constant thought of someone who's a planner, as part of admin gift, planner. Someone, where are we going? If there's no sense of where we're going, how can I employ my resources, okay? Typically, administrative people love plans. I would also say this, though. Typically, they really struggle when plans change. So just be aware of that. Sometimes plans have to change, okay? You don't want to fall into a trap of deifying plans, but sometimes plans have to change. But if you change plans for the fun of it, you might find it fun if you're me, because if it's change, I love it. Yeah? Intuitively, change is good for me. For people that are more planners, often, not always, but often, change is not such great news. Why? They've just spent the last month after hearing your idea in their head, in their heart, on bits of paper, starting to put something together. And it matters to them. Rightly so. And then suddenly, oh, guess what? The plan's changed. For the spontaneous person or the visionary or whatever, it may be no great shakes. For the admin person, it is. So you've got to handle that really, really carefully. We had to postpone our urban plant course up in March. Had to postpone it till October, just not enough students. And I don't think it's a deep problem. We just didn't do well enough on the run-up, meeting people, speaking to potential students. For me, changing from March to October was no big deal. It's fine. Gives us a bit more time. For Gordon, who's working alongside me, it was a very different experience. Partly because of who he is, who God's made him, partly because of he's involved in, I guess, the layer across to that, which is a bit more granular and working things out. Oh, that's going to mean this, that's going to mean that. I was blissfully unaware of all of that, you see? Now, because he's mature, he handled it well. That's the thing. Because the flip side of admin is control. So if you're administratively gifted, you will be prone to control, probably. And that's where, if you're not growing spiritually and you're becoming immature, or you're staying immature, then you can't handle the inevitable change that comes with life. The changes that, oh, we didn't know that. If you just, you know, the problem in the West is that because government's stable and life is so stable, we don't learn to be very, very responsive and kind of flexible, because so much happens as we think it's going to happen. In many parts of the world, it's constantly you're looking for what's going to happen next. You know, I'm part of an accountability group with one of the guys in that group is from Kenya. He normally misses the group. Why? Because of flood. Or, no, I had to go there. Famine scenarios got really bad. It's a different lifestyle.
So we're often waiting on the Zoom call and he doesn't show up, right? Because it's a completely different world that he is working in terms of that. So we have to be careful that in the West that we don't fall into this idea that somehow this is exactly how it's going to work out. It rarely happens like that. And that's okay. And part of growing spiritually is you go, Lord, I'm going to trust you that we're going to make a plan, but we're going to have to adjust a bit on the way, be a bit flexible, because things will happen that are beyond our... Okay, and that's okay, and it's learning how to do that. But I do think it's really important that if you are like this and a planner, and you feel particularly in an uncertain season, what's going to happen next? You don't know this, you don't know that. Don't then drop into control. Okay, that's not godly. That comes, it's birthed in, it's built on fear rather than built on faith. Control is always built on fear. And it's when you start trying to manage stuff and jump ahead of stuff and essentially play God, because you can't handle the uncertainty. Listen, God knows the end from the beginning. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's easy for me to say that because of my temperament. I understand that. But I'm still, listen, but it's true for all of us. So those of you that are more administratively wired really need to hear that. It's so, so important. Beware reducing this gift to just the granular. You know, I say admin, you think photocopying. Yeah, hold on. Whoa. Yeah, no. Yeah, that is our take on it. You know, some administratively gifted people really enjoy being involved in the granular stuff. That's absolutely fine. It's needed. It's important. There's all levels. But some are actually much better with the big picture. They're much better, you know, thinking on a more sort of macro level. So let's not lump it all in with that. It can manifest in all kinds of different ways. It's important to understand that. Administrators are not dream killers or bubble bursters. Okay, they're realists. They are realists. And I tell you what, they can see the associated practicalities with the dream and the vision. They can also see the pitfalls. They go, hold on a minute, don't you see? Can't you see where that is going to go? And you go, because when you're gifted in something, it's obvious. And you think, why can't everyone see it? Yeah? It's like that, isn't it? Whatever way you're gifted, it just feels part of you. And, you know, you don't even realise. And sometimes you can be scratching your head thinking, it's crazy. Why are you doing that? With my apostolic gift, I can look at situations and think, why are you doing that? And I think, oh, they must have thought it through. No. No one with that gift has been involved. But I think, well, it's obvious. No. It's obvious to me. Because I've got a gift in that way, you see. So it's so important that we learn graciously, kindly, generously to say what we see. Because when you do it like that, it's easier to hear if you're doing it graciously, kindly, generously. But also you may be saying something into a situation that no one has thought of. And you're going, but you're going to fall off that cliff. Surely someone, no, not necessarily. And this is one of the things, you see, when we don't use our gifts, dumb stuff happens. Avoidable stuff, it happens. Because there wasn't a sense of growing in awareness of, understand of, oh, wow, in that area, I can see around corners. Others can't in that way. Or you carry God's heart in a certain way because of how he's gifted you. You know, you're hearing about the latest, maybe the latest plan for the church, and it doesn't, nothing in it. There's no mention of the poor in it at all. And you're going, excuse me, what are we thinking? We should all have that in our heart. But if you've got a mercy gift, you're noticing that, like that. Or no one's spoken about the lost. This all sounds great. We're going to meet together. We're going to prophesy over each other and look after each other. Hold on, what about the lost? Nicely, generously, graciously, but you say it, and it begins. The gift comes in, and it helps where it should. So, here's how we're going to end with this. In the gospel, because it's the work of the great administrator, it brings our life from chaos to order. Amen. Some of us would have been in total chaos without Jesus. Am I right? Some of us would have been real control freaks without Jesus. Am I right? Okay. So two things to say. Firstly, to those of you among us that don't yet know Jesus personally, you've not yet made him your Lord. You've not brought your sin to the foot of the cross and asked for forgiveness. You've not bowed the knee and asked him to be your Lord. I want to say to you this. He wants to, as part of you coming to him, either bring your chaos into order, if you're that way, or bring you out of a control freak lifestyle into a lifestyle of liberating trust, where you actually trust him. Or maybe a bit of both. But I want you to hear that. That's fruit of the gospel in your life. Your life will change as you genuinely submit to and walk with Jesus. Your life will change in those areas. Order will come where there was chaos, because he'll teach you and he'll show you, and you'll make by his power, you'll make changes. Okay? It'd be wonderful, fruitful. Okay, but also where you've just learned to perhaps lean on people, perhaps manipulate people, perhaps try and engineer situations, you'll stop all of that because it's sinful. Okay, and you're shredding other people's consciences and you're using people to make basically work out your plans. That's all wrong. You got that, you got to stop that. You say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You're going to bring the right people into my life. Yeah? And if people leave my life, that's in your hands. Okay? And you grow in trust like a child. Okay? You want to do that for you. But for those of you that know and love the Lord Jesus, but you're still going ding, ding, ding as I'm talking, we want to pray for you today as well. We want to pray for you. Because it could be that you're thinking, I do love the Lord, but my life's chaos. And you know, the Holy Spirit, if you open your heart to him, he will show you what's going on there. Often there's resistance to some things. Resistance to order, because maybe it reeks to you of control. Or maybe it reeks to you of a lack of spontaneity. Or maybe that's not, you know, I don't know. Things that go on in the heart where you go, I'm not going there. But as a result, you stay in chaos and take others into chaos. It's no good. You need to mature. Okay? I mean, look at Jesus. Wonderful order, but wow! Most exciting life you've ever read. You only know 3 years of it, and it's amazing. So don't worry about that, okay? But also, you know, believers, you know, I'm in a season where nothing's clear. I'm in a season where it's all unraveling or whatever, and I'm essentially surviving by control. Listen, it's so unhealthy. It's so unhealthy. You're not made to do that. And it will damage you. And it will damage people around you. Don't do that. Okay? Stay in that place where you're doing the practical things, but you're not making decisions out of fear, out of anxiety, out of... You're saying, no, Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm trusting you. There's a time for everything, amen? There's a time for... He's the Lord of the sovereign seasons. There's a time... Lord, I trust you. It's massive. It's massive. So we would just love to be able to pray for you. If you know, listen, I want this gift, or I've got this gift and I want to use it more, or this chaos control stuff, you think, yeah, some of that, that's for me. I would love to receive prayer for something or the other. Why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to get people to just pray for you, to bless you and encourage you.